Albany's oldest continually singing men and boys choir will celebrate great English composers in its spring concert. The Cathedral Choir of Men and Boys is the longest continually singing men and boys choir in the United States of America, performing for 144 years. They are the resident choir at the Cathedral of All Saints in Albany. Boys ages 7 to 14 sing as trebles in the choir, which is unique and rich opportunity to carry on the English choral boy choir tradition here in the Capital Region. The gentlemen of the choir are all local professional musicians. Tomorrow, April 19th at 7 o'clock, they'll perform a program entitled Gloria, a festival of English anthems and hymns. Here to tell us more are Woodrow Bynum, director of music at the Cathedral of All Saints, Graham Schultz, organist for the concert and former Lloyd Cast organ fellow at the Cathedral, and Oliver Nathaniels, who is a young singer in the choir. It's all great. Great to have you all here. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having us.
Great. So let us begin with you, Woodrow. Tell us about how you became involved and how you work. How many performances ultimately do you give in a year?
Sure. Well, the choir had a wonderful reputation amongst its ensembles for years, and I was drawn to Albany about 10 years ago, and we've, over the last few years, I think reached a very fine place with the choir, and our performances have started to attract some really significant audiences. The choir's history is of great interest. The first Episcopal Bishop of Albany, who was a great visionary named William Croswell Doane, had in mind a cathedral for his new diocese to be built on European scale. And he also had a vision for the music that would be offered in that place and founded the Cathedral Choir of Men and Boys in 1872. 144 years later, the choir sings most Sundays in the academic year and presents two or three major concerts, including their annual performance of Handel's Messiah. And 16 boys sing the soprano line, and as you mentioned, professional countertenors and tenors and basses sing the lower parts. And it's the same sort of scheme that you would find in the typical English cathedral choir.
Why is that tradition so important to keep going?
Well, it's unique. It's unique in the Anglican Church. It's unique in the Episcopal Church in America. But there are parallel programs that are designed for girls to sing the top line. And there are examples of that all around the country. The cathedral has explored the possibility of starting a parallel program for girls, but it's currently beyond our financial capabilities. There's really nothing a boy can sing that a girl can't sing just as well. The main difference is that a boy's voice has an expiration date and a girl's voice does not. And it presents some interesting pedagogical challenges when you have boys as young as 8 singing with girls as old as 16 or 17. So the single gender approach seems to work well. And in time, I hope we can create a girls' choir and offer this amazing experience to girls in the Capital Region as well.
Oliver, how did you get involved?
I used to take piano lessons, and my piano teacher said, why don't we do some vocal work? And I was kind of sort of into singing then, and I said, okay, we'll try it. And eventually she heard my voice, and she said, you know what, you have a really good voice. You should try out this choir in Albany. And so then my mom contacted the choir director, and it's all history from there.
How long have you been with the choir?
This is my 5th year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are how old now?
12.
All right. So 7, doing the math quickly, is when you started. So how has it... So when your voice changes, are you screwed or what happens? what happens?
Well, there's different sections. So usually you'll either go to the altos, which is a little bit lower than boys, so it can go down lower, or the basses is where most of the boys go.
Okay.
So.
All right.
The idea is that the training that Oliver's receiving and his colleagues are receiving will give them vocal technique that they can use for the rest of their lives.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you just go to a different...
You can.
Go to a different realm.
The expectations for the gentlemen who are singing the lower voices is that they would have to do a lot more independent work. So it's... what I encourage the boys to do is to continue singing. Some of them continue singing in the choir. Some of them continue singing in other ensembles like the Capital District Youth Chorale, in their choirs at their schools or in other churches. But the important thing is that the music stays with them and they keep using those skills.
And I assume you want to keep with it, Oliver.
Definitely. Yeah. Super fun.
So let's bring in Graham into the conversation, organist for this concert. And what is it like playing with a choir of this magnitude?
It's an excellent experience. The cathedral has a marvelous pipe organ, great acoustics, and the choir is truly excellent. And for this concert, we'll be joined by a 10-person brass section with players from Boston, New York, and the Capital District, as well as timpani and percussion. So it will make a big, jolly noise in the cathedral. And it's such a wonderful space to hear this music and wonderful setting. So it really should be quite spectacular. A good noise. Yeah, a lot of noise.
A good noise.
Yeah.
How hard is it for a choir to find a good organist?
Well, we are lucky in this country to have excellent organ departments in a lot of our conservatories and universities. And organists are often looking towards a concert career, but some really specialize in their liturgical experience, playing of hymns, service music, and accompanying along with the standard repertoire that dates all the way back to Bach and even earlier. And we were very lucky to find Graham when we were able to hire him, and he was with us for 3 years. And Graham is a particularly fine liturgical organist, and he was recruited out of Albany by a church in Dallas, Texas, a few years ago. And we're proud of that because the cathedral has one of the only apprenticeship-type programs in the Lloyd Cast Organ Fellowship. It was named for one of my predecessors, who was the organist choir master at the cathedral for 36 years, Dr. Lloyd Cast. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for young organists who have finished their degree work and want to take that first step, and they are the de facto cathedral organist during their time with us. And it's usually for a couple of years. We managed to get Graham to stay for three.
Very nice. When you have a performance like the one that will take place tomorrow, how do you put that together, and how did the theme come together?
The theme came together rather gradually. Putting together the music is part of our regular weekly rotation. The boys come in on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 6:30 on Wednesdays and 5 to 6 on Thursdays to rehearse and as just a treble section. And my job is to make sure that they are ready for our full rehearsals, that they know all of their notes. The only way we can do that is that the boys themselves are excellent sight readers. Mm-hmm. The whole training scheme that we do is surrounded by musical literacy, so that a boy can take a piece of music, look at it, and sing it. And with that, we're able to sing, even on our normal rotation, a full mass setting, a couple of anthems, a psalm, on our weekly rotation. And then add to that, we sing Handel's Messiah in concert every year. And that's with a full orchestra and world-renowned soloists. And then the concert on Tuesday, some of these pieces are actually works that we do from our repertory. But a couple of them are on such a large scale that they would not regularly be sung. And so we had to learn movement from John Rutter's Gloria that we had never done before. And The arrangement that we're doing of the Hubert Parry Hear My Words, Ye People is especially prepared for us by the composer Grayston Ives to involve all of these brass players and the organ. And in fact, we are asking the audience to sing on two of these pieces as well.
Does it, why are these pieces so seldom done? Is it because of the lack of choirs, or is it just because the repertoire is sort of set?
Well, the particular pieces that I'm referring to are a little long for a church service.
Okay,
so it's more the scale of the piece. The cathedral choir does sing choral evensong every month, and we are able to sing a slightly longer anthem there. But for Sunday mornings, when our focus is more on the Eucharist, we try to make sure that the music is simply there to support what we're doing and to have a homiletic impact as well.
But how many members total?
We have 16 boys and about 15 to 16 men. I usually bring in a couple of extra people on our bigger concerts, but our usual singing is about 14 men.
What are you looking forward to singing tomorrow night, Oliver?
The Gloria. That's a really fun piece. And Hear My Words.
Great.
Yeah.
It all takes place tomorrow night, the Cathedral Choir of Men and Boys of the Cathedral of All Saints presenting Gloria, a festival of English anthems and hymns, April 19th, that is tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock. To learn more, cathedralofallsaints.org/music, cathedralofallsaints.org/music. That link can also be found at our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Woodrow, Graham, and Oliver, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.